not a space scientist or a mathematician or a Rubik's Cube solver, but that crater isn't like any other one. That's the neighborhood everybody's running to. I'm not saying it means something. I'm just wondering, what's going on?
Yeah, I haven't looked at it that long, you know. To me, it looks like any other crater, but I guess if you say there's something different about it, I'll have to look for it, you know. You said your son was able to do it quickly. My son loved it. I gave him one of these things, and, you know, before you know it, he was one of these guys that you mix it all up, put it down on the table, you know, a minute or two later, he's got the thing back together again. And I was able to pick up speed when I was younger, but not like that. I mean, maybe down a half hour type of thing. But to do it in minutes, it's something. You're able to put that pattern together in your head and duplicate it over and over again. Very good. Jim, back to you. And then I'm going to sign. I know Frank wanted to see if Corey was still there.
Roger, I'll let that happen. I just wanted to let you know that I'm still, I got my fisheye on the whole thing. And my son will pick up a Rubik's Cube off a table and put it back down solved because he was annoyed to see it sit there unsolved. I can't conceive of it. Cannot even think about it. But I can recognize the puzzle when I do see it, and that's, I suppose, what I'm talking about. So thanks for coming back to me, Paul. KD2BHD yielding for other traffic.
Yeah, this is AC2GS. This is AC2GS. Frank, are you there?
Yeah, I think you called me. WB2BX, so I am still here.
Yeah, I thought that you called me earlier after I closed the net.
I did. I wanted to mention two things which we can actually talk about on the net next week if we're both around and if Echolink works. I expect to be. One thing was I found it interesting your comment on AI for interpreting a voice. Of course, that's fairly common now, but the single sideband is very difficult. One of the first applications I would expect for an AI app copying single sideband would be a sideband equivalent of the CW's skimmers and digital skimmers on HF. Are you familiar with those at all?
Yeah, and I agree with you. It would be a nice feature to be able to give it a very wide bandwidth and for it to split it apart and interpret call signs and other information, extracting them. So the problems are going to be how bad the voice will it be able to deal with. You know, I mean, I'm sure you've played around with voice recognition software. It's been available for 20-plus years. You tended to have to train it a lot, and if you got kind of fatigued and you didn't speak in a particular way, it would misunderstand things. It's gotten somewhat better, but it's never been implemented as part of AI because the front end would either have to be connected to the Internet to do the interpretation, or you would need a massive array of computer parts. It's getting better every year. They're putting glorified mini ChatGPTs onto Raspberry Pi, so it's an inevitable consequence, but it's going to take time. I perceive that the initial voice scanners will be less forgiving than future generations as they get more and more computational power.
Yeah, all we know is that the Amazon smart speakers I won't mention her name because she'll wake up if I do. I'm standing right next to her, quote unquote. You know, interpret voice reasonably well. Gets annoying when she doesn't understand us here. Anyway, but yeah, a single sideband seems to be especially difficult, I guess, because of the relatively poor signal-to-noise ratio. Try using your smart speaker in and out loud in a noisy room. It doesn't work very well. So, you know the problems there. The other comment I was going to make is the idea that long path being straight east to west instead of west to east. Pretty much what I've read is radio signals, HF, tends to travel the curvature of the Earth, even if it isn't exactly the great circle path, though the websites that give you beam headings tend to assume it is, and they give you both long path and short path. So long path to Asia would tend to be pointing, would tend to be going over one of the poles and not directly east-west because that doesn't follow the curvature of the Earth. Go ahead.
Yeah, I mean, that's something that confuses flat earthers a great deal. When they're trying to prove that the Earth is flat, basing it on some obscure misunderstanding of aviation routes.
Yeah, well, aviation routes don't always follow great circles for a variety of reasons. Overflight rights, refueling, etc. I think more of them come close now that it's some of the longer-range aircraft can fly nonstop to Asia and Australia from JFK, which wasn't possible in the past. You used to have to hopscotch across the Pacific. But there are a variety of reasons that have nothing to do with geography, with, I guess geography is the right term, that have to do with the economics and politics of aviation rather than geography, that the flight paths are not true or great circle paths. Go ahead.
Yeah, I mean, you know, the physics can only take you so far. Finances and geopolitics and other things factor in. By the way, Amazon's little voice, they're working real hard in implementing AI into it, but the problem, as I hear it, is they want to charge for it because AI is very computer intensive. And so far, the beta testers have given them the impression that it's not worth it. So whatever they have planned for her isn't quite good enough to charge money for it at this point.
Yeah, I believe that. When I play, you know, one of the Jeopardy games through her or one of the others, it was try to convince me to buy the premium game, and I'm happy with the free game. I'm not buying the premium game, even though she asks me every day to buy the premium game.
Well, you know, I mean, this is a money-making proposition. I understand it. You know, he's very wealthy, Jeff, and he, like all very wealthy people, they want to be wealthier. So, I mean, and unfortunately, again, the same kind of pain in my neck when I have to foot the bill for yet another iPhone. You know, I have way too many subscriptions. I have my Kindle subscription. I have my Audible subscription. Too many subscriptions. And, yeah, they'd like to sell us more. So the games is another expense I don't know. I don't play games with her. I just tell her what to do. And I have other ways of getting her to do things by other little bits and pieces of gadgets that I've sequestered and programmed to interact with that system. So, you know, it's interesting, but the idea is that they're going to hook it up to something like ChatGPT, where you're going to be able to do what they showed at the recent Consumer Electronics Show. They had two gadgets that you basically talk to, like it's your butler. You can't quite do that with these things right now. They do simple things. But if you, you know, if you tell them to order a pizza or something, I think they'll blow a gasket. So it's probably going to be along those lines, that it'll be a much more sophisticated exchange of commands. But they haven't quite cracked the problem with, is it worth, I don't know, $12.95 a month for another subscription?
Yeah, and I'm sure you've tried it one time or other to ask her to open the pod bay doors, right?
Oh yeah, I've tried all kinds of things. I think as soon as I turned it on, I said Klaatu Barada Nikto. They alluded to the wrong movie, in my opinion. They alluded to the newer movie that used that line instead of the old one that I loved so much.
I'm not sure I remember which movie that is. Go ahead.
Well, it originally was The Day That the Earth Stood Still. You had Michael Rennie, I think his name was, a very tall Broadway actor.
Yeah, your audio went away, so maybe the repeater's telling us something here.
Sorry, I fell out of a note. I was saying that it comes originally from When the Earth Stood Still, but it was used as a joke for third movie of the Evil Dead trilogy, where it was the magic incantation to shut down the evil book, to which the main character, who was a schlup, forgot the lines. And so he kind of mumbled it, and it didn't work, and the whole world went crazy.
Oh, okay, yeah. Sounds like when you mumble to... When you mumble to her, you know, she doesn't understand you. Anyway, I'm going to get going. Three voice, WB2BS.
Okay, 73, Frank, thanks again for participating tonight. Always appreciate it. Stay safe, be well. We'll talk to you down the line.
Good night. KD2VHD is still listening. Hello, Ed, out in the distance. How are you this evening?
Earlier I had a really nice antenna hooked up, but I secured it, so now I'm stuck with this.
Yeah, you're not doing so good tonight.
No, because I'm using the HC antenna. Usually for the net, I put on a better antenna, but I put it all away already.
Okay, that makes sense.
So you're a Jersey stay-up, I understand.
Would seem so.
And so you're not going to get your required sleep, and then you'll be exhausted, and your entire life will unravel around you.
No, I haven't had a good night's sleep my whole life. I lived a life of getting up all through the night and doing my business, and taking care of other people's business, and putting out fires, and shutting off leaky sinks. So, the hour of the day means little to me.
I wasn't expecting a serious answer.
I know that.
No, I was all set to participate in the net, and I got a lengthy phone call, and that was the end of that.
Oh, it's too bad. I was hoping for some input for you. I was asking questions about NFED half-waves with 49-to-1 transformers. I've been learning about that. It sounds like an interesting way to maybe better do what I'm trying to do in my house. And I figured you'd throw something in on that. It's not an E2C or D or E, but I figured you'd have some insight.
Yeah, I heard that. That's when the phone rang. Perfect timing. Here's my take. Ideally, I would rather you use a mundane, ordinary dipole. But the half-wave end phase with a proper G-smash, which you're saying is a 49-to-1 transformer, should be fine. But is there any reason, or is it just too long to go into why you feel you need that rather than the dipole?
Well, I could do anything up to 80 meters with a regular dipole, and I can hang the rather than supporting the middle, I can hang it with the stuff I got on hand. But once I try to get on to 160, trying to hang a dipole center in midair, it just gets impractical. But if I can do it with an end-fed, well, that solves most of my problem. I have an almost invisible antenna that is self-supporting from two points, and I can do that. So that's what I was kind of thinking, that sort of thing.
I have only one outrageous heresy question. Are you sure you really want to go on those bands that badly?
Good point. They're there, so yes. And I've listened to them, and they're country folk. With places where they have lots of plates for big antennas. I enjoy those folks a lot.
Okay, so at least you know the territory, so that's good. So my comment is, try it. I mean, what's the worst that'll happen? I assume you're just going to run a long wire and, you know, homebrew the 49-to-1 network. I assume there are plenty of construction plans. Or maybe you could buy one pre-made. I assume you're not buying the entire antenna pre-made.
Well, I'd like to buy the balance just so I know I got a baseline that's proven, but it's looking like I'm probably better off making one. Stringing the antenna I do myself. It's an interesting solution to... what I got is I got a narrow space, relatively narrow space, where I can run a big antenna, but then I'm out of spaces to run antennas. I don't think, maybe you can tell me I'm wrong. But if I get this alleyway, not an alleyway, it's bigger than that, but I got a 300-foot run that's 40 feet wide where I can run antennas, but I can't just stack up three different antennas in that and not expect them to cause all kind of interference with each other. Or am I overestimating that effect?
Are you familiar with a fan dipole where you have multiple dipoles but the different frequencies right next to each other? They do not interfere, so I think you're okay. But you realize for 80 meters you need 135 feet, for 160 you need 270 feet. So that's pretty long. If nothing else, it's a lot of wire.
I can do it, but I can just barely do it. Like, I pretty much have to put the 160 to the sidewalk. So if I do that, I have to make it be almost invisible. And I can do that. But if I start adding crap to it, that the invisibility goes away pretty quick. If it's just a thin strand of wire, nobody's going to even... If they notice it, it'll be like... It just won't attract attention. That's my thought, anyway. Once you start in multiple wires and hardware and carabiners and insulators and yada, 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 it just goes out of control. So I'm trying to do it with just one slender wire.
Now, at the feed end, would these all be in parallel, or would each one have its own connector, or you know, each band have its own connector, or what?
At the feed, not to do a fan, I'm trying to do a single. That's what I'm kind of leading towards. At the feed end, it can be much more sloppy. It's in the backyard, it's surrounded by trees. It's unobtrusive to the XYL or anybody else. It's just not a problem. But when I run out to the sidewalk, I'd rather it not be call attention to itself, I should say. It's not going to be invisible, but rather it be tidy.
Yeah, my question is, how many bands are you going to have? How many different dipoles or halfways or whatever are you going to have? And how are you going to connect them to the transmission line? Is each one going to have a connector and you screw the transmission line to the one you want? Were they all in parallel at the 3 points? Or how are you going to organize the 3 points? You have multiple antennas and one feed line. What is the game there?
Well, what I would like to do, and I have no idea if it's possible, is to have one long antenna that would cover, let's say, 160 and 80, which I understand don't really like to play together well, so I don't even know if that's possible. And if I could tune up 160 and 180 on a long antenna, and on the rest of the stuff below that, I got room and space and a place to do something like a closed landline antenna that can be adjusted to all over the place. But it's the long ones that's the tricky one, and they're the ones that take up all the space that I'd like to try to solve first. You know, once you clog up the space with the smaller antennas, there's no place for the big one. So the big one, it's kind of like when you're building a house. You know, the framing comes first, the plumbing comes second, because it has to fall its way that it does, so the gravity pulls the waste down the pipe. So I'm trying to figure this out from the biggest, clumsiest one first. That's why I'm being clumsy about this.
Well, if you want to have an end phase on 80 and 150, the classical approach would be to put a trap at the 135-foot point, which in theory is a short at 160 and an open at 80. But those two parameters are kind of hard to nail exactly. And that's why trap antennas are always kind of touchy. You know, you want to be open on one band, short on another band, and the laws of LC tank circuits don't necessarily play that way, so everybody sees how much they get away with it.
It also puts the trap out right in the place where it's completely visible so that the ladies looking at the flowers in the garden. And I suppose the idea of combining, probably the more practical approach is to do 160 independently and do 80 and below separate. Because it's the 160 that sticks out into the front yard. And that's the one that gets kind of like the kind of thing where the wife looks up and goes, "What the heck is that?" And if it didn't have a trap in it, nobody would know about it. It would just disappear.
Well, you can put an 80-meter in-phase and 160-meter in-phase basically in parallel without any problem. So you have, 135-foot and the 270-foot tied to the same connector. And just make sure they don't short each other. At least for the first half, the first 135 feet. That would also work. Also, what power level are you talking about?
100 watts and below. And so are you saying that I could do an end-fed in the style of a fan dipole?
I have never done it, but I can't see any reason why not.
Interesting. That has merit. That definitely has merit for my application. I like the idea of that.
Of course, you need about 500 feet of wire.
I got that. I got a couple nice 600 yard spools of copper 1 millimeter fishing line. It's 30 pound test. Copper fishing line. It's a braided line. It's not really braided, I suppose. It's multi-strand, but it's quite strong and it's quite invisible. Once it gets a little tarnish on it, you don't even see it. And it's strong. It's easy to work with as long as you don't kink it. Nice stuff.
All right, I was glad to hear you're throwing 100 watts max. I'd be weary about putting real high power there, but here's a stupid question. Have you tested this wire with an ohmmeter? Is it actually conducting?
Well, I had a 40 millimeter dipole up with it a while back, and it worked beautiful. And I made a boo-boo when I dropped it, but a long cowl post on it, wrecked it. I haven't put it back up yet. But it seemed to work quite nicely.
All right, just so long as it passed that test, you're good. I'm just looking for crazy things that come up to bite you. You know what I'm talking about.
Yeah, that's how you troubleshoot, no doubt. We're on the same page.
No, this is not troubleshooting. This is planning ahead.
That's the same process, just in reverse.
All right, meanwhile, with my compromised antenna, I'm limited where I have to be. Only place I can access the repeater well with my compromised antenna is in the master bedroom, and the XYL is kicking me out, so I better sign.
Good. You have a good night. Good talking to you. 73KD2BHD.
You have a pleasant evening. WB2EAV.
W2VL repeater. That tonight at 8:30, this is the W2VL repeater. W2VL repeater.
Flymark InfoNet, tonight at 8:30. This is the W2VL repeater.
W2VL repeater.
Mark InfoNet, tonight at 8:30. This is the W2VL repeater.
W2VL repeater.
Flymark InfoNet, tonight at 8:30. This is the W2VL repeater.
W2VL repeater. W2VL repeater. W2VL repeater.
Flymark InfoNet, tonight at 8:30. This is the W2VL repeater.
Test 1 2 3, radio check, radio check. This is JA2SYJ, Central Japan, Tokyo, by calling, standing by for a call. QCQ, anyone, anywhere. This is Japan, Alpha 2, Sugar, Yen, Soviet. JA2SYJ, Tokyo, Japan, by calling, standing by for a call. Any. Thank you.
the W2VL repeater. Good morning, the time is 5 o'clock a.m.
Flymark InfoNet tonight at 8:30. This is the W2VL repeater.
W2VL repeater.
Flymark InfoNet tonight at 8:30. This is the W2VL repeater.
W2VL repeater.